Welcome to the Restoration Pros Unplugged podcast. In each episode, we're going to bring you insightful interviews and discussions with top restoration industry leaders. We're also going to delve into their business, the strategies that made them successful, and most importantly, the valuable lessons they learned along the way. I'm your host, Clinton James. I'm also the Chief Marketing Officer at Water Restoration Marketing. We're a digital marketing agency dedicated to helping restoration companies nationwide secure more high-value water jobs. Now, this show, it aims to provide you with the knowledge and tools you need to excel in the restoration industry. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the show. Hey, everyone. Welcome to the Restoration Pros Unplugged podcast. I am your host, Clinton James. I'm the Chief Marketing Officer at Water Restoration Marketing. It's my pleasure to be joined today by Robert Mathika. Robert, thanks for being on.
Thank you.
Now, Robert is the owner of Kala Professional Restoration Services, a great restoration company located in Southern California. To be completely transparent, Robert has been a client of our agency for almost 2 years now. So, Robert, I appreciate you making the time. To get started, why don't you tell the audience a little bit about Kala and the restoration services that you guys provide?
Okay. We are Kala Restoration and Construction. We provide water damage and fire restoration to places that have had either leaks or either plumbing leaks, roofing leaks, or fires or smoke. So we go in and pretty much do the restoration, which is all the emergency services and all the repairs.
See, I'm glad you brought that up because a big chunk of my clients right now are franchisees. So like Restoration Ones, 911 Restorations, 1-800 Water Damage, PuroClean. And a lot of those guys are what we call mitigation only, right? So they go in, they do the mitigation work, and they get out, which is a great business model for them. But that's not the way you operate. You guys do the full restoration project, correct?
Yeah, we're full service. We started out as contractors doing building, plumbing, roofing, all the trades. And as we did what we do in construction, we kept coming across emergency services and mold and water damage. And it got to a point where we just decided that, hey, we need to get more educated in this. And so we went to school for water damage school, mold school, smoke remediation school, etc. So, we took the courses, we went and got our certifications and then got into this business because we just kept running into it. And then after doing the business for a little while, we found that it actually paid better than general construction, using the price list that the insurance companies use. Mm-hmm. And so slowly we got into it more and more to the point where basically, we specialize in that now, because we like the fact that we go in for emergencies and also do all the repairs at the same time and then get paid better than we were being paid just for general construction.
Now, let's talk about that for a second, because a lot of the restoration companies that do mitigation only, their thought process is that, hey, I'm going to make 60-70% on margins on the mitigation work. And then I don't want the headache of being a general contractor and doing the rebuild work, which is obviously lower margins. Because you have a background in construction, that was just icing on the cake for you doing the rebuild work as well, right?
Oh, yeah. For us, doing the construction, that's what we're about. We're B licensees, so we can build from the ground up. And basically, we've built, from fires, from floods, from, all kinds of vandalism and all that. Knowing construction and having, our crews, most of these guys have done this, since they were, very young. They're mostly from construction families. Okay. So learning the mitigation side was almost, it was a piece of cake, because if you try to train the mitigation guys on construction, that's a big problem. They don't have the experience. You need a lot of experience doing, building, framing, doing mud work, doing drywall, doing plaster, doing concrete, and it's difficult to learn all those trades. So most of the time we have to hire guys that grew up doing this, from construction families where they built homes. So they know about, you know, concrete. They know about framing. They know about, you know, walls, drywall. They know how to plaster. They know how to roof. So teaching these guys mitigation is just like, you know, for that, they find it so simple. They actually make fun of it, kind of. They're like, man, this is construction. This is actually, you know, it's like, yeah, you know, they pay us to do this.
All right. So,
you know, we hold on to our guys to do all the repairs because they, you know, they do it. And when we're not busy with mitigation, we still have our crews doing all the construction work that we need to do. If we only did mitigation, Mike, we'd have to cut back on our staff big time.
Let's talk a little bit about your team. Because like I said, we've been doing business for the last 2 years. Where are you guys at in terms of crews, service vehicles, technicians? What's your headcount look like?
It fluctuates between 15 and 25. For a long time, we've been, you know, from 15 to 25. And but we're getting to the point now. We just amp things up a little bit, and we want to now grow the company to, you know, bigger, you know, a bigger size, you know, up to maybe 40 guys, and then maybe just for that one location. And then when we're done with that, we'll start thinking about expanding in different places. I have a couple friends that do the franchised work. Most of those guys are maybe like five guys or six guys, or because it's hard to stay busy just doing, you know, mitigation work.
Sure.
That's a heck of a task. And then they can't keep their guys busy. They have a problem. I have one guy who keeps complaining about, because he only wants to do mitigation, but he can't keep his guys busy. So he keeps losing them, you know, and then he has to hire again. And, you know, and I tell him, hey, why don't you do the construction, get construction guys? You'll always have staff. You know, if we have guys on a job, maybe 10 guys, five guys, eight guys, something happens, we'll just pull four guys. It doesn't matter what time of the day or night it is. We already have them out there. So we'll just pull a truck or a couple trucks to a different location and stuff like that. So for us, it's ideal working like that, you know?
Well, give us your
make sense for us.
Give us your background, Robert. Now, obviously, you were a GC before you got into the restoration industry, but what did you do before you got into construction?
Actually, I was doing something totally different. I went to school for information systems and computers.
An IT guy, a tech.
Yeah, that's what I did. But it wasn't my passion to do that. It's kind of family really pushed me into that. They're like, you got to get at least your first degree before you do anything. So I did that, and I was like, yeah, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to go do something else. And then slowly got into construction, loved it, and just kept growing with that until we came across all this mold mitigation and. Now restoration. Now we specialize in restoration, pretty much.
So
we're very happy doing that.
So out of the work that you get right now, because I know you do water, I know you do fire and smoke, I know you do mold. I don't think you guys do like asbestos abatement or any like biohazard or trauma or anything like that.
No, we don't. That's something we do want to do in the future, though.
All right. Good goal to shoot for. What if we took all of your work as like a pie, what percentage of that pie is water? What percent of that pie is fire and smoke? And then what percentage of that pie is mold right now for you?
I would say 80 to 90%, 80, 85% is water.
Yeah.
And maybe 15% is smoke and fire. Because we don't really, the smoke and fire is, it is very competitive. And usually we take the ones that come, we don't actually market for it. They come and then we do it. And, you know, some of those are kind of the bigger jobs.
Well, we certainly do a lot of marketing for you guys on the water side there. So let's talk about where you were back in 2022, because when you and I first met, to say that you were apprehensive of the idea of spending money on Google Ads and pay-per-click again, it took you a little while to get you across the finish line with us. You didn't have the best experiences in the past. So tell me a little bit about where you were in 2022. And why you finally decided to give us a chance and let us see if we could generate some work for you.
Yeah, we did a whole bunch of marketing with a whole bunch of different companies, doing Google Ads, doing SEO, doing, you know, pay-per-click, doing, you know, all these different things. And as you do it, you know, you learn that different companies do different things. Some are not very ethical, you know. Some just take your money. Some, you know, they wouldn't, actually, I had a guy who who worked in, actually, it's a lady who worked at, I'm not going to say what book, certain color book. And we used to advertise with them, you know? And then when she quit, she actually called me and said, hey, you know what? Most of the money you're paying us for your online advertising does not go to your ads. Most of a small percentage of what you pay us per month goes there. And then she joined another company and she said, come with us because, you know, these guys at least, you know, put more than what, you know, we were putting for you. So I went, well, I was shocked to hear that, you know, I was like, man, she's like, yeah, maybe 20% to 30% of your spend is actually going to your ads.
That's brutal.
Because they were very opaque. They weren't transparent where they'd let us know like, hey, you know, out of this much is, you know, whatever percentage is going to your ads. They would just say, no, it's a flat fee and that's what it is. Just trust us. We do your SEO and we'll do some pay-per-click. And so when she told me that, I was kind of shocked. And obviously I left that company right away. Well, I went in with them, it was better. But this company, yes, they put a larger percentage, but again, it was not transparent. They were just saying, okay, just give us this much per month and we'll do your marketing. And she was trying to tell me, okay, yeah, well, these guys spend more. And I came to find that, yeah, they spend more, but not a lot more. So, yeah, I'd been through a lot of that and a lot of SEO companies, and it was very difficult to track their results. Especially with SEO, because they're like, no, your ads are going and, you know, you're, you know, this much, you know, response you're getting on your website. I'm like, yeah, but, you know, at the end of the day, we need to know how many people are actually calling us to get jobs. You know, it didn't make sense, the amount we're spending and, you know, how much work we're getting. So that's probably why it was a little difficult to join right away when we first came across your company.
I'm glad you mentioned that, because I think that's a good lesson for any restoration company that's considering spending money in the digital marketing space, right? Because there's a lot of companies that will take your money to do digital marketing for you. But you're right. Sometimes it's a little clouded in terms of where that money's going. And that's why we always focus on a pretty simple pricing model. We charge you a weekly or monthly admin fee and then an ad spend budget. And we have been spending yours for the last 2 years. It's funny, when we started working with you, we started with a fairly modest ad spend budget of a couple thousand dollars a month. And over the last 2 years, I've seen you increase that ad spend budget to now we're at the point where we're spending, you know, five figures a month just on the ad spend there. But I think you're seeing the results. I looked at the dashboard before our interview today, and I saw, I think we've probably have generated 50 plus calls for you guys. And I know your team does a great job of, number one, answering the phone. I don't remember the last time I saw one of your calls go to a voicemail.
we try to stay on top of it, you know.
And two, you guys are obviously doing a good job of taking those calls, turning them into site visits and turning site visits into jobs. Answering the phone is super important, and I don't think people emphasize that enough. What is who's your team that actually answers the calls when they come in?
It's split between us. Certain time I get a lot of the calls, but you know, depending on what's going on, like for example, the next 3 days, I think Paco's going to be on the phone.
Yeah.
So we just kind of divide that responsibility. I'm going to be in a seminar for the next 3 days. And, you know, I get most of them, but, you know, it just depends on, you know, what's going on and who's going to get the calls. But that's a, you know, that's a very high priority for us to be able to answer the phone, you know, regardless of what day or what time of the day or night it is. We will answer calls at 2 a.m. We're there. Calls at 4 a.m. We will respond. So we respond 24 hours a day. We did try to use answering services outside our company, but we ended up just losing a lot of clients. You know, the time between the time they call and they talk to the answering person, and by the time they relate, first of all, the answering service, a lot of times, even after you train them, they're not very familiar with, you know, the details of the job.
100%.
And so when people call and they have questions, you got to be able to answer, you know, everything that they're asking in detail, you know, and have the knowledge to do that. So they know that you know what you're doing. And so, you know, having some of these answering services, even after training, they just don't have the experience When we answer our phones, it's people that do that work. So they'll answer your questions, you know, tell you exactly what you need to know. All of us have, you know, experience dealing with insurance companies, adjusters. So we'll answer all those questions right away, you know. So we kind of did away with some of those. So we just take our own calls now. You know, it was too expensive losing all those calls.
100%. And I found, and this is for all of the most successful clients I work with, I think they understand that the more people that you put between that homeowner or business that's in the middle of that water damage emergency and the technician that's ultimately going to come out there and have to do that work, the less likely you are to get a job out of it. So
exactly.
Both you, Paco, the guy that also helps you answering the phones, the fact that you guys know the industry, know the ins and outs of insurance claim processing, know what equipment you're going to need to dispatch there, puts you guys in a really good position. You use some additional lead sources. We're not the only thing that makes your phone ring right now.
We use some other services. We find them even more expensive because some of those calls cost us $500, $600 a call.
Yeah.
So for one call.
Yeah.
Not a guaranteed job. It's a phone call.
Well, our average cost to generate a call for you is significantly lower than $500 a call.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So some of those sources, obviously, we're trying to get volume from different sources. So we kind of trying to spread the risk a little bit. But in terms of, ROI, we're probably getting the highest return from you guys because of your model, you know, because a lot of our money, not a lot, almost all our money goes to our ads.
Yeah. That's the important part.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, some of these lead generation services, they definitely have a different model than us. And like the ones that you're paying per call, if you go out, a lot of them use Google Ads to generate a lot of their phone calls, right? But they've got these, we won't name any names, but they have these undescript landing pages that are usually in the color schemes of the most popular franchises in your market, right?
Yeah.
And unfortunately, a lot of the ad spend budget that they are spending on the ads that they run, it's not for keywords that have anything to do with water damage. It's more the names of some of your most popular competitors down in your market. So do you occasionally, with those companies that you're paying per call, ever find yourself getting lead calls from people that were looking for specific franchises?
Yes, that's actually happened quite a few times.
Yeah.
They'll call, they'll ask for service, we show up, and more than a few times, it's like, oh, we thought we called this kind of site. What do you, you know? So over time, we've come to discover that, you know, their marketing strategy is very different.
Yeah.
I mean, 9 out of 10 times we'll still get the job, but I'm not sure how they're generating those calls exactly. You probably know whatever.
I do. When people go in, they do a Google search and they're looking for ServPro or ServiceMaster, right? They type that into the search bar. You're still going to have ads that show up at the top of the page. They're going to click on that ad. They're going to go to a web page, a landing page that doesn't have really a business name on it. They're going to see the color schemes that they recognize from that franchise, and they're going to call the number on there. That lead gen company that we're talking about, they just do a round robin with whatever number of restoration companies that they're working with in that area. So you're going to get phone calls, and you're absolutely right. If they haven't already started a job or a project with that restoration company, you might still be able to turn that thing into a job. But sometimes I hear from my clients that they're just legitimate customer service calls, like somebody calling to complain about a technician that tracked mud through the house, or they've got a question about an insurance claim that's literally already in process there.
Well, we have this thing where if the call is not about a job, they won't charge us for it. But that does happen quite a bit.
Well, good.
Actually, of late, over the last maybe 2-3 months, out of like 10 calls, they won't charge us for 7 of them because they're not real calls. Then we'll get maybe 3 out of that that is actual. And they'll charge us for those, but those are people that are legitimately looking for water damage services.
Yeah.
So that happens too. So I'm not sure how they're doing what they're doing, but yeah.
Because that's okay.
You know, they can't charge us for, we can't pay for bad calls. No. So.
Well, we'll just continue to generate good calls for you on our end. So one last thing I want to talk about, because every day when I talk to a restoration company, no matter where they are in the country, they think that they're in the most competitive market in the country. You, my friend, I know this from data, are actually in one of the most competitive markets in the country. People don't think of Southern California as a hotbed for emergency services. And I don't know that it has a higher volume than other parts of the country, but you guys got more restoration companies per square mile than most markets out there. So tell me a little bit about what you do to kind of differentiate yourself in a competitive market like Southern California.
Over here, because it is so competitive, number one, you cannot miss a call. Once you get that, because if somebody calls you and they're in an emergency, either you don't pick up the phone or, you know, you can't answer their questions, they're just moving on to the next person.
Sure.
Because they really don't know. They haven't, researched. You know, it's a different way of doing this. They haven't done a lot of research. It's an emergency. They got to call somebody.
Sure.
So usually, whoever responds the quickest, most of the time, will get the jobs, you know. And obviously, when you get there, obviously, you need to know what you're doing. You have to be professional and, you know, and do a good job. Otherwise, there's a whole bunch of jobs that we go and redo jobs where people are not happy, or sometimes they'll try to pay us to come and consult with them about how, you know, they've gotten ripped off and what it would have been, you know. We try not to get involved with too much of that, but you know, you still have to do the job and do it right and do a professional job, you know.
Well, I appreciate you sharing that insight. And the two biggest takeaways I think we want to share with our audience are, one, answer the phone. Those phone calls coming in, they have to be answered by a live body. And two, the person that you have on, exactly.
Going on.
Yeah. Number two, the person that answers the phone, don't undersell the value of them knowing the industry, knowing the business, being a trained technician or somebody on that level. They can speak really intelligently about how you guys are going to remedy that. I think far too often restoration companies don't emphasize having the right person answer the phone. And that's probably costing them tens of thousands of dollars worth of business over the course.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. The best person to answer is, you know, a knowledgeable tech.
Yeah.
That's who you want to talk to. You know, not an answering service, not a receptionist, you need to talk to the guys who are going to be doing the work, you know, to get your answers, you know, the answers that you need. Otherwise, you know, you just put them in a place where they're not very comfortable.
Listen to Robert, folks. Answer the phone and make sure you've got a technician or somebody with that skill set as the person who answers the phone so that you can convert more of those calls into site visits and jobs. Robert, I want to thank you for giving us some time today. And for the audience, thank you for sticking around. If you like what you heard today, please subscribe. The Restoration Pros Unplugged podcast is going to be back with more interviews, more insights from entrepreneurs and professionals in the restoration industry, like my guy Robert here. Until then, stay safe. In weather like this, let's try to stay dry. And I hope you all stay busy. Thanks again, Robert.
Okay, thank you. You have a good one.
Thank you for listening to the Restoration Pros Unplugged podcast. If you like what you heard today, be sure to subscribe, share, and also leave us a 5-star review. We'll be back with more interviews and discussions with restoration industry leaders really soon. In the meantime, if you're a restoration company looking to add more high-value water jobs, you can reach me and my team at waterrestorationmarketing.net. Again, that's waterrestorationmarketing.net. I look forward to hearing from you soon.